Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I hope you're having a good day today. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says that whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When we think with thankfulness about the things that are noble and praiseworthy, we remember that God is the one who is in control. Our hearts are filled with gratefulness because of this. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blessings. Thank you, Father, for today that we remember those individuals, Father God, who have sacrificed their lives for us to have this freedom, the joy that we are enjoying now, so that we can gather today and worship you in safety. Father, you are so great, you are so good, O Lord, that even in our homes, you are there to protect us. That even, Father God, in our jobs, you have given us, O Lord, the time that we could work so we could enjoy the time with our families and friends. Lord, you are the one who controls our lives. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to study the words of the Torah. Amen. Today, November 11, is a day that is aside to think about how freedom has been won. We take this moment to express our gratitude to the men and women who have contributed their lives to secure, to protect the freedom that we now enjoy. That is not without blood and sacrifice. Today, we solemnly remember the wars, the conflicts that claimed numerous lives of gallant men and women, and of course, innocent lives of civilians throughout the years. Wars that is supposedly to be wars that will end wars. But sadly, it failed to become a reality. On this Remembrance Day, we understand that there is also an ongoing battle within man regarding good versus evil. And that ongoing battle creates the conflict that is still ready to erupt. This day of remembrance, of course, is a wonderful time to recall the heroic acts of those who rose above the ordinary to put their lives on the line of duty for the sake of their fellow men. This red poppy that I am using now, that we wear on our chest, has been used since 1921 to commemorate those who courageously sacrificed their lives for us. In Israel, they have this practice of saying thank you in remembrance of numerous acts of kindness that saved the lives of many by holding days of remembrances. One of them is the Holocaust Remembrance Day. On this day, a 2-minute siren brings the entire country to a halt. 6 days after this is Israel Memorial Day, which begins a 1-minute blast of siren at 8 p.m. at night, and another 2-minute siren at 11 a.m. the following morning. Each time the siren is heard, they all stand at attention in remembrance of those who have given their lives to the Jewish people so that they may live in their own land with safety. Ray Farr, the film curator of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, says, and I quote, "We remember because it is an unthinkable scar on humanity. Although it is wise to remember, we should not fall into bitterness." The paper yesterday in Calgary Herald says that after the war, we would like to forget everything that happened because of the bitterness that they feel. But it is wise to remember. We should not fall into bitterness because of the evil past and the evil present that is coming. In remembering, there should also be a gratitude for the good that we have seen and the blessings that we have experienced. Sometimes we are tempted to look on the wrongs that are committed by others with bitterness and unforgiveness. However, we should remember that a spiritual battle is at work in this world and have taken captive our hearts through sin and various false teachings in regards to the scriptures. We need to remember that our adversary, the devil, is strong. But Yeshua, Messiah, is stronger. And he has already won the battle. The Torah makes it clear that Adonai, our God, places tremendously high priority on remembering certain things in our lives. Remembering what we should be grateful for. And that is always a part of a believer's lifestyle. That's why we always begin our prayers with, "Blessed be the God," or "Blessed be God of our fathers." The Torah makes it clear, even in our parasha today, that is why the prayers that we get in our liturgy, they actually based it here when Eleazar says, "Blessed be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." On this day of remembrance, we consider the freedom that many fought with their lives to secure. Let us also take this moment to remember the cost of the true freedom we now enjoy, which was bought with Yeshua's blood and sacrifice. 5 things that we should remember today. Number 1, the price that was paid for our salvation. Yeshua purchased for us the ultimate freedom, fulfilling the promise that he will forgive our wickedness and will remember our sins no more. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. In Micah chapter 4, verse 3, he said, "He will be the judge between my people. He will settle disputes far and wide, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war again." If you and I even get to the point that we become casual about what Yeshua died for us, or what Yeshua did for us, if we ever begin to take it for granted, this great salvation, we need to get on our knees and stay there until we recapture the wonder of this great salvation. We should always remember the price He paid for our lives. Secondly, the people that God has used to bless our lives, we need to remember them. You and I should always remember these people whom God has used to bless our lives. We should always remember to give them the attention, the consideration, and the time that they deserve. We should always remember to express gratitude to them and for them. Someday, you will be someone's hero. Someday, your character will be admired by others. Someday, what you do today is emulated by an individual who is watching you today. You and me, our families, it surely should be the top of our list. Have you said thank you to your family for all what they've done to you? Have you said, thank you, Mom? Thank you, Dad? We can start leaving a legacy in our homes. That should be our first priority. I am so thankful to God for my wife, Mary Lou. I am thankful for my children, because they have been a constant source of untold happiness and unexplained joy. Every time I come to work, every time I come home at night, I always see them sleeping. Come home in the morning every time. And it is my joy to hold them in my arms when they wake up. When I go out the door to go to work, I don't see them because they're from school. I have barely enough time to say hi to them. And you have a great time with your kids. You have a great time with your family. Why not enjoy it right now? Mary Lou and I are grateful for the wonderful people whom God used to bless our lives throughout the years. And that includes you, dear friends. Includes you, dear folks, here at Beit Shekinah. I am thankful for all our friends also in our Lakayim Fellowship. We should always remember the people whom God has used to bless our lives. And to those who are no longer with us, and those whom we are blessed to have with still. If you haven't appreciated them before, start now. Notice them. You can make your mark now in their hearts. Beit Shekinah, I believe, is a good place for you to establish your legacy aside from your family. We must all value and live an accountable life. Thirdly, the promises that God has given to sustain us. We have the promises of God to lift us up out of the valleys of despairs in this world. There are many times that we need to hang on to the scriptures so that it will keep us standing on our feet. If we know Yeshua as personally as what the Bible says that He is, we can yield our broken pieces to Him, and God will miraculously bring good in our lives. even in a sad, sick situation. We might not be able to see it at times, but if we just hang in there, claim the promises in the scriptures, and keep trusting the Lord, one day, here or after, we'll be able to look back and say, "Oh, God was better to me than all my hopes, better than all my fears, for He made a bridge of my broken skies and a rainbow to my tears." Satan many times fog our minds and cause us to forget the promises of Scripture. But if we keep it in our minds, if we keep the Scriptures in our minds, in our hearts, we can readily claim it at that certain moment when you need that promise of God. Because God's words always sustains us. Fourthly, that we need to remember, the provision that He has made for us in the world to come. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua Messiah, who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, that is reserved in heaven for you." A well-known hymn says, I hope you remember this, "It will be worth it all when we see Yeshua Messiah. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race until we see Christ." And lastly, the performance that God expects from us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." It is not required that we are multi-talented or exceptionally brilliant or with an outstanding persona. But the only requirement that was written there, God makes of believers, is we need to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, that whether we eat, whatever we drink, whatever we do, let's do it to the glory of God. We are to be faithful in all things because there is a place for everyone to serve in our community. Someone has said that each one of us are writing a gospel on our own, a page each day by the things that you do and the words that you say. Men are reading the gospel in you, whether faultless or whether it is true. Now say, what is the gospel according to you? What are you writing in your gospel? Our parasha this morning talks about Abraham wanting his servant Eleazar to go find a wife for Isaac. And Eleazar, who was the servant who came to faith in Abraham's God, is specially used here to bring about the fulfillment of the covenant promise. Eleazar, if you remember in the early verses, Eleazar took an oath by placing his hand under Abraham's thigh. This oath ceremony likely seeks to connect the oath to the covenant that was given to Abraham. The requirement of an oath showed Eleazar that the expectation to complete his mission at all costs, that he needs to complete his mission at all costs. It is understood in here that he is to give his best until the job is done. The story demonstrated the characteristics of the saving faith in the God of Abraham, namely the willingness to live according to God's leading. It demonstrates the characteristics of the saving faith, the willingness to live according to God's leading. This statement summarizes our perspective of true biblical faith, that a person should live according to the will of God. Living according to the will of God is making a legacy that what we wanted for us to be remembered. We wanted each one of us to be remembered that we have lived according to the will of God. That should be our main purpose in life, that we will live according to the will of God. Eleazar, in our portion, was faced with the dilemma of how can we discern the will of God? This has been a major challenge to him. And of course, it is also a challenge to us. How can we live according to the will of God? Yet, the answer was there. He trusted. He awaited God's direct leading in the things for which he had lacked knowledge or ability. Eleazar obeyed. Then he waited for God's leading. Let's try to understand this. Many of us are waiting for God's leading, right? But have we obeyed to take that first step by trusting in Him? Like a boat that you cannot be steered until it is far away from the shore, until it is in deep water, so we must act upon what we know, what God has commanded us to do, and then wait for His direction as we move forward, letting the Torah as a guide through our course of life. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm waiting for God. Oh, I'm waiting for God to direct my life. But you're not reading the Torah. How can we be directed of Him if we're not reading His words? We must obey first and wait for His leading. And the leading of God is in this Torah. We simply cannot expect God to bless us with a new revelation of His face when we have neglected or even despised the portrait of Himself that He has already given. Right? How can we know His face if you neglect looking at His face? He has already given His portrait. And why are you not looking at it? Living a life according to the will of God means being faithful in the small things before we are entrusted with greater things. Eleazar, in our story, if you notice, that he is in constant communion with God as he traveled to complete his task. When we feel that God is not leading us, or when you feel that God is not leading you in your life, it may be that you have stopped listening in the direction that He is leading you. Sometimes we don't hear the leading of God because the music of this world becomes too loud in our ears. The melody that plays every now and then in our minds drowns out the music of our Master. We all will leave a legacy, our footprints in the sand. In the book of Joshua, it says, stones of remembrances. It may be a good one or a poor one, but without a doubt, a legacy that others will remember of you. To those our lives touched, to those that we hang around with, to those whom we know, to those who know your secrets, to those who know what you're doing now and what you're doing after. The legacy we leave will be vital to them. Legacies don't just happen. Legacies are created by you. What kind of remembrances for tomorrow are you creating today? When the next generation looks back on our life, how will they remember me? Or how will they remember you? How will they remember us? Will your children and friends remember you for having mentored them in the faith? How about your friends? How will they remember you? Are your affirmations etched in their hearts? What remembrances do you leave behind? Chuck Swindoll once said, and I quote, "Legacy isn't about us, but it's about God working through us for His glory, not ours." Let me repeat that. Legacy isn't about us, but it's about God working through us for His glory, not ours. God wanted us to leave a lasting legacy, a legacy of remembrance. And God's work through us in amazing, unexpected ways, passing to others so they will experience the same presence and provision God has supplied in our lives. That's our purpose. A bridge to God. Today, people are surrounded by memorials that remind us of our past. War memorials that tell us about the sacrifice, the honor, the bravery, at some point, also the pain, the suffering, and the loss of many. But we don't have to look for those things. Look at your living rooms, the photographs on your walls, the pictures of your family, the pictures of your friends, those that are hanged on your walls, the photo albums that are in your living room, videos of special events, weddings, birthdays, anniversaries. These are living artifacts that relive the joyful moments of our life. And these are reminders to help us dwell in the past, but also they are meant to equip us in our future. who is the most precious in your life right now? Some will say they'll pick up their phones and just show it in their phones, the picture of their loved ones. Those are already memorials in your life. Are you leaving a legacy for them to know who you are and who your God is? It is not yet too late to start our legacy. When we stay close to each other, we value each one. We rub each other's rough edges. And when we rub each other's edges, that's when we start to smoothen up ourselves. But when you don't have company, how will you smoothen up yourself? You still remain rugged, still remain with rough edges. But with our company, we rub each other to smoothen ourselves for the glory of God. Becoming beautiful in the hand of our potter, Yeshua the Messiah. In closing, let me challenge each other to erect statues of remembrances, stones of remembrances that are visible reminders of God's hand in our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day. May you be the one to grant us the wisdom to recognize what is absolutely vital and valuable in our life, and the unyielding determination to attain it. Father, please teach us to know what and when to hold and what to remember, when and how to throw it all in for the mission to be accomplished in our lives. We lean on your everlasting arms to discern which of this is the best ones for us to leave a legacy. We lean on you, Yeshua, our Messiah, for you are forever blessed. Amen. Let's call Rabbi Kahl.